Tengo diabetes.
Yo, asma.
Estamos en riesgo de contraer la neumonía neumocócica.
19 años o más con afecciones crónicas como asma, diabetes, EPOC o enfermedad cardíaca, o tienes 65 años o más, estás en mayor riesgo de contraer la neumonía neumocócica. Pregunta a tu médico o farmacéutico sobre Prevnar 20, una vacuna de Pfizer que puede ayudar a proteger contra la neumonía neumocócica con una sola dosis. Aunque te hayas vacunado previamente con otras vacunas contra la neumonía, Prevnar 20 puede ayudar a proveer protección adicional. Prevnar 20 está aprobada para adultos para ayudar a prevenir infecciones de 20 cepas de la bacteria que causa la neumonía neumocócica. La aprobación continua puede depender de un estudio de apoyo. No uses Prevnar 20 si has tenido una reacción alérgica grave a la vacuna o a sus componentes. Los adultos con sistemas inmunitarios debilitados pueden tener una respuesta reducida a la vacuna. Los efectos secundarios incluyen dolor e hinchazón en el área de la inyección, fatiga, dolor de cabeza, dolor muscular y en las coyunturas. Para obtener la información para la prescripción completa, llama al 1-855-213-2138 o visita Prevnar20enespañol.com.
Professional wrestling, like real life, is full of surprises. Hi, everyone. It's Freddie Prinze Jr. And it's no surprise I can talk wrestling all day, any day. Kind of like how State Farm agents can talk insurance and help you choose the right coverage. When it comes to important insurance decisions, let State Farm support you with the coverage you need backed with 24/7 support. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
With your Amex card, entertainment benefits like special ticket access and pre-sales to select can't-miss events while supplies last, make every tap music to your ears.
Locatora Radio is a radiophonic novela,
which is just a very extra way of saying
a podcast.
I'm Diosa Fem.
And I am Mala Muñoz. We're podcasting through another Trump election year. We've been podcasting through election years, a global pandemic, civic unrest, political controversies, the Me Too movement, the rise of TikTok, and we are still here. We're not done telling stories.
We're still making podcasts. We're older, we're wiser, we're even podcasting through a new decade of our lives.
Since 2016, we've been making Locatora Radio independently, until we joined iHeartMedia's My Cultura Network in 2022.
From our lips to your ears, fall in love with Locatora Radio like you never have before.
Welcome to Season 9.
Love at first listen.
Hola, hola, locamores. Welcome to Season 9 of Locatora Radio. I'm Diosa.
And I am Mala.
Locatora Radio is a podcast dedicating to archiving our present and shifting the culture forward. You're tuning in to Capítulo 194.
Last time on Locatora Radio, we launched Season 9, and we interviewed Grammy Award-winning artist Natalia Lafourcade.
I am a businesswoman as well. I realized that. Like, I can't run away from that fact.
Make sure you tune into that episode, leave us a review, and share with a friend.
So for today, we are pivoting. We had a really juicy episode scheduled, which will still come out, but next week instead. But something I think I really love about us and what we do here at Locatora is that we pivot like really quickly. Like we recognize like, okay, things cannot continue on business as usual when we have to cover something very pressing. And so today we're pivoting and we're talking about the public demonstrations and the protests that have been taking place across college campuses.
We are in a historic wave of anti-genocide marches, demonstrations, sit-ins, encampments, right at this moment being led by students across the country. And we're going to start with a hyper-local example that has been making the news for all the wrong reasons. We're going to talk about the University of Southern California, USC, and the way that USC administration, in partnership with the LAPD, have been stifling the voices of student protesters and have really been engaging in a lot of fascist repressive tactics.
I think we should touch on what started at Columbia, because that really set the wave for the rest of the college campuses. At Columbia University in New York, students created a Gaza solidarity encampment, and they were at a university lawn. And that led to arrests, that led to suspensions. And they were doing teach-ins, even did a Seder with their fellow Jewish allies, Jewish students. And this was all at the tail end of the president of Colombia testifying in front of Congress. And so it seems like it was timed directly and intentionally for that when the president would return, the president of Colombia would return to campus, there was going to be a big protest. That set off a wave of solidarity protests at other campuses. It reached USC.
USC, I think, is one of the most recent to join in the public demonstrations and the setting up of encampments. And I think that at USC, one of the triggering factors was not only to join the wave of student protests, but I think USC students pretty specifically were responding to university sanctioned silencing and repression of a Muslim student, Asna Tabusum, who was selected to be this year's USC valedictorian. To become, and she's an undergraduate, to become a valedictorian at USC, there is a selection process. There's an interview process. She essentially had to apply to be vetted. She was stacked up against other students, and ultimately the university chose her to be their valedictorian for the class of 2024. There is a little bit of a gray area and confusion around what happened in the days and weeks since USC selected Asna to be their valedictorian. As I'm a USC student currently, and we receive emails and updates and things, and what we learned is that the university rescinded Asna's ability to speak at commencement, which is like the reason you become the valedictorian, is to speak at commencement, to be the class representative. You are an outstanding student. The university and the student body supports you, and not only your academic pursuits, but you as an individual, to the point that you are chosen to address your student body and family, friends, and the community at commencement. So Asna, the university, after offering her this role of valedictorian, decided that they were not going to let her speak. And in the communications that we received from the university, I feel like there was a lot of coded language. It was discussions of campus safety, vaguely, and the safety and security of commencement and of the event. There was no specific statement that a threat has been made against Asna, our speaker, our valedictorian, or we have received threats to the university. It was more like in anticipation of potential threats to campus, we are not allowing our valedictorian to speak. Now, important, Asna is a Muslim woman. She is studying, one of her minors is a resistance to genocide minor. So she definitely is socially conscious, socially aware. She definitely has expressed herself on her own private social media accounts. And apparently, one of the reasons why her opportunity to speak at commencement was pulled, because somebody went and dug up posts that she had made on her own personal social media accounts.
She had shared a link that was in support of Palestine. And the way that it's being talked about is for the, quote, destruction of Israel, which I think is they're purposely misinterpreting the link that she posted. And to my knowledge, it wasn't even actual like in-feed post. It's like someone went and looked at like what links are like in her bio, but it's been spun to be this anti-Semitic sentiment, feeling, belief, when she has been calling for anti-genocide.
And something important, again, this is a very young woman, so she's graduating from undergrad.
She's probably 21.
Probably 21. A major in biomedical engineering and her minor in resistance to genocide. From what we know, she's not like a career activist. She's not like a speaker, you know, she's not a journalist. She's a student. And seemingly overnight, her name has been put out there into this spotlight that I don't think that she wanted or was looking for. The LA Times did a write-up about it. various outlets have picked up the story, and a lot of folks have shown up online and now in person in solidarity and in support of her and, of course, the people of Palestine. So this is the context in which, like, we find ourselves at USC last week.
Like, the campus climate is that. Like, let Asna speak. People are in protecting free speech. I've seen former professors say, hey, we might not entirely agree with her stances, but we believe in the right to free speech. And this student, Asna, had not even written her speech yet. So there were a lot of assumptions and projections made against her.
Yes. And, you know, it's quite possible that she would have said nothing about Palestine in her commencement speech. We have no way of knowing. And even if she were, so what? She's allowed to speak and to speak her mind. And especially at a university, these are supposed to be places, right, that encourage study, thought, expression, outspokenness, what have you. So USC joins the student body, right, joins this wave of student activism and is responding to this very specific instance of the university silencing and repressing a Muslim student who is an outstanding student. If your valedictorian can't speak,
that's like the highest
honor.
Yeah,
if your valedictorian is not safe from repression, what hope does anybody else have for expression, for free speech, for standing up, for demonstrating? So this is what we're dealing with at USC. So I was on campus last week, and we're in the middle of, like, study days, final exams. The campus is getting ready for commencement, right? Now, last week on the 24th, I was there around noon. And by noon, by 12 o'clock, there were already helicopters circling the middle of campus. There was already an LAPD helicopter. And the students who had begun demonstrating had not been there even half a day. I was getting videos from Diosa, who was getting videos from others, of, like, campus security trying to tear down the encampments and getting rid of tents and signs and such. I'm seeing the helicopters. There were at least five helicopters. One was definitely an LAPD helicopter. The others may be news helicopters. I'm not sure. I went over there to check it out and to do a little documenting on my own. And I saw what you would expect to see at a protest is students protesting and with signs and chanting and maybe a loudspeaker, people observing, and then people participating. Folks of all ages, and at a university, it's hard to say who's who. You can assume most are students. Some were definitely faculty. Others, community members, allies, folks who eventually showed up as the day went on, because as the day continued, the university, like, escalated things to a level that it didn't need to get to. And of course, when that starts happening and the LAPD is called and students are getting detained and dragged, folks are putting out a call to action, you know, come down to USC in solidarity and in support. And that's what happened, you know. So as the day goes on, I'm seeing posts on Instagram, on the internet, calling for bodies come to campus because there's a police presence here now. Eventually, they shut down the campus and you had to show a student ID if you wanted to get in. They were ordering people in the center of campus at Alumni Park to disperse, to get out of there, or they were going to arrest everybody. I was working on a final project, so I was in our post-production editing lab, and that lab is open every day until midnight. By 7 o'clock, the campus had shut down, the riot police were on campus, there are helicopters everywhere, and they shut down the labs at 7. They were like, you guys need to be out of here by 7:15. So then at that point, we're like, okay, how can we get home? What streets are open? We don't want to walk by the riot police. What's going on? At all these other universities, there was not necessarily outright support of the student body, but they at least let them protest for a full day before they went in and tried to drag people out or arrest people.
On Wednesday, April 24th, USC students and organizers from USC's Divest from Death began building out their liberated zone, what they were calling a liberated zone, at Alumni Park, which is a central part of campus. And that began at 5 a.m. The whole list of programming. My friend Sik Lali sent me the list of programming they had scheduled for the whole day. And with the programming, they also had been publicly displaying their list of demands. And their list of demands is essentially to disclose, for USC to disclose, defend, and divest from Israel. And what that means is that investments made by the university goes to weaponry that's made, aircraft, that is then sent to Israel. And so that's where the divesting is coming from. And because it's a private university, they don't technically have to disclose how much it is, where that funding is going. And so that's what the students are asking for. They're asking for more transparency. And they had their list of demands, which totaled to six things: end war profiteering and investment in genocide, complete academic boycott of Israel, protect free speech on campus and provide full amnesty to all students, staff, and faculty, stop the displacement from South Central to Palestine, no policing on campus, and end the silence on the genocide in Palestine. So really asking the university, like, take a stand, release a public statement.
And what was so fascinating, too, is a lot of my fellow classmates were extremely shocked by what was happening. But something that we know to be true is USC is not Berkeley.
No.
It's not Davis. It's the University of Spoiled Children. That's what it's known for. It's private. It's exclusive. It's elite. And it's not known for being a politically progressive place that encourages dissidents, that is like encouraging of protest in this way. And they showed that. The actions on the part of the university were like very on brand in a very bad way.
Yeah.
And very on brand for the LAPD as well. And there was a lot of like, oh, well, they're not all students. I heard a lot of that.
Right.
And we really have no way of knowing who's a student and who's not. These are thousands of students on campus.
Right.
And not every student looks the same. Not everyone is like blonde hair, blue eyed with boat shoes, you know. There were a lot of professors who were participating, who have resigned from their various posts at the university. There are a number of professors who have put out statements and writing in support of the student body and criticizing the president of the university and calling for the president to step down. The university, though, in the days since last Wednesday, have gone so far as to like cancel all commencement speakers. John Chu was going to like go and speak like at the cinematic arts commencement. But because of the backlash that the university has received because of their decision to silence Asna, the university, instead of, I don't know, taking the higher ground or reinstating her option to speak, have said actually no commencement speakers, no one speaking at all. Commencement, like the big general one, has been canceled. And the smaller individual schools within the university will have their commencements of sorts. But the university is just kind of going full force with their decisions and doubling down. And it's going to be interesting to see how things continue, because protests at the university have continued since then.
Yeah, I was super proud to see Annenberg faculty and staff release a letter to the university in support of not only Asna speaking and how that was completely mishandled, and also the students' right to protest. And in addition, one of my former mentors, Sandy Tolan, wrote an opinion piece in the LA Times, and he basically laid out how historically universities always blame outsiders, which I think is what you're referencing to, of like, well, these aren't students. And so they'll blame outsiders as part of a justification for police action. Just to quote him, My university's shameful doublespeak threatens to taint promising careers before they start. Professors arrested, including vulnerable untenured colleagues, may also face sanctions. So of the 93 arrested on Wednesday, April 24th, some of them were faculty and untenured, like Sandy stated.
And the untenured faculty across the board, including at the School of Cinematic Arts, are themselves in their own struggles and boycotts and protests against the university to try and acquire living, to win livable wages for themselves. So our adjunct faculty is, yeah, very vulnerable, not making ends meet, not getting paid enough, not receiving benefits. They're in their own sort of political and labor struggles with USC. And now on top of that, we have the political struggle related to freedom of speech of the students, the right to demonstrate, and the solidarity with the people of Palestine. I think that there's been a lot of criticism of the student protesters, and they are student protesters. The students organized these demonstrations. They have led the demonstrations. They're keeping them going. It's not outside agitators. It's the student. It's enrolled students who pay tuition, who are in the middle of finals, and who are still trying to graduate and get their work in, while also really responding to this kind of global call, you know? So a lot of those students have been criticized. Oh, they defaced Tommy Trojan. They spray painted on the Tommy Trojan and they spray painted on the fountain. And, you know, they put up a tent in the middle of the alumni park and they did this and they did that and they did this and they did that. And it's all very petty. And I think it's all this sort of way to avoid the topic at hand.
Yeah, it's like when people get mad for protesters smashing windows. Like, it's going to be okay. Mm-hmm. You know, the building is fine. Tommy Trojan is fine. Like, the issue at hand, and I think exactly what you're saying, like, well, why are the students protesting? Yes. Like, keep that question in mind. Well, yeah. 34,000 Palestinians have been killed since October 7th. Remember why the students are protesting. And the students are fed up. Like, everything we've been told to do has not worked. Call your elected officials, nada. Like, all these things, like, and not to say that those actions aren't important, but I think the students, in a way, campuses can be these, like, safe havens where you can, you know, assemble and you can have protest, usually without the threat of police violence. And we've obviously seen that this time around that has not been the case at many of these college campuses, but protests at college campuses are not new. We've been seeing that since the civil rights movement. We saw it 10 years ago when I was an undergrad during the Occupy Wall Street. Like, yeah. there have been campus takeovers, campus protests for decades and decades, and we will continue to see them. But remembering why the students are protesting.
I am very curious to see if the president is going to resign, because there's certainly calls from inside the House and outside the House for her to resign because of her handling of this situation. Yeah, and in undergrad, we were also protesting. The student organization was called Students for Justice in Palestine, SJP. Now it seems like the name has shifted, Divest from Death.
I think that one's USC specific.
Specific,
yeah.
But the cause and the issue is the same. We have a really incredible interview for you guys today. And if you have been keeping up with the goings on, you probably saw a viral clip going around on Instagram from a USC parent who showed up to campus on the day of the first set of protests last Wednesday in support of his daughter, who is a student, an undergrad. And he was voicing his opinions about how proud he was of his daughter for demonstrating and fighting in support of Palestine. If you saw this clip, he talked about how even if she got arrested, he would be proud because of she's fighting for what she believes in.
We're really grateful to Lázaro Agüero for joining us today. He is originally from Arequipa, Peru. And when we saw this video go viral, you know, if you're approving in LA, you kind of know everybody. And so when my friend Edith told me, hey, I know that señor, he's amazing, she offered to connect us. So I want to thank her for connecting us, because he has been inundated with messages of people trying to interview him, and he's gone on to do a couple interviews. So we're really grateful that he is in studio with us today. This is a Spanglish interview, you know, so we're asking questions both in Spanish and English. He's answering in both Spanish and English. So I think this is the perfect interview for you to send to your family, for you to listen to with your family, because over the years, we've talked about how important these conversations are to have with our families, how the changes at home, how multi-generational, intergenerational convos are really important and impactful and can be long-lasting. And I think he's a really great example of that. So we're really excited to have him with us today. But before that, we're going to go on a quick break and we'll be right back.
Tengo diabetes.
Yo, asma.
Estamos en riesgo de contraer la neumonía neumocócica.
19 años o más con afecciones crónicas como asma, diabetes, EPOC o enfermedad cardíaca, o tienes 65 años o más, estás en mayor riesgo de contraer la neumonía neumocócica. Pregunta a tu médico o farmacéutico sobre Prevnar 20, una vacuna de Pfizer que puede ayudar a proteger contra la neumonía neumocócica con una sola dosis. Aunque te hayas vacunado previamente con otras vacunas contra la neumonía, Prevnar 20 puede ayudar a proveer protección adicional. Prevnar 20 está aprobada para adultos para ayudar a prevenir infecciones de 20 cepas de la bacteria que causa la neumonía neumocócica. La aprobación continua puede depender de un estudio de apoyo. No uses Prevnar 20 si has tenido una reacción alérgica grave a la vacuna o a sus componentes. Los adultos con sistemas inmunitarios debilitados pueden tener una respuesta reducida a la vacuna. Los efectos secundarios incluyen dolor e hinchazón en el área de la inyección, fatiga, dolor de cabeza, dolor muscular y en las coyunturas. Para obtener la información para la prescripción completa, llama al 1-855-213-2138 o visita Prevnar20enespañol.com.
There's no distance too far for the perfect trip.
Hi, checking in for...
Or the perfect table.
Hey, where are you?
Coming!
And when you get access to Resi Priority Notify with your Amex Platinum card...
Hey, this looks amazing!
I'm so glad you made it.
And travel benefits at fine hotels and resorts booked through Amex Travel. It's worth the trip. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
I often get asked why I'm such a big fan of wrestling. And it's all thanks to my grandma. Growing up, we would watch matches together, and that bond turned me into a lifelong fan. Hi, I'm Freddie Prinze Jr. And on my podcast, Wrestling with Freddie, we know how important it is to have the right teammate, because things can get pretty tricky quick. So, when things get complicated and you need help, State Farm gives you options. They show you what's possible for insuring what matters to you. One of the things that matters to me? Sharing memories and revisiting wrestling's greatest moments. And with State Farm's support of the My Cultura Podcast Network, I get to do just that. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Listen to new episodes of your favorite My Cultura shows wherever you listen to podcasts.
Bienvenido, Lázaro.
Muchas gracias. Muchas gracias por la invitación. Es un honor estar aquí, hablar de las luchas de los estudiantes de todas las universidades y también como padre, cómo se tiene que respaldar a nuestros hijos en la lucha que ellos han iniciado. Muy contento de estar aquí.
Y me encanta lo que dijo, que es importante respaldar a los hijos, a los estudiantes, porque creo que como latinos, latinas, latines, podemos ver que a veces nuestras familias nos dicen, no se metan, es peligroso, no quieres que tengan problemas en la universidad, con la policía. Y usted está enseñando otro lado de cómo apoyar a los hijos, a los estudiantes, y cómo llegó a este punto de vista.
Realmente la vida me ha enseñado de que nosotros no debemos ser esclavos de nosotros mismos. Muchas veces tenemos en nuestra mente cosas que nos han metido a la prensa o los grupos de poder que cómo debemos de pensar. Y no es así. Nosotros tenemos que ser libres. Si vemos en la actualidad que hay un genocidio, que están asesinando a miles de niños, no nos podemos hacer de la vista gorda. Tenemos que hablar, o sea, no podemos ser esclavos si es que nuestra opinión va a afectar a alguien o alguien se va a enojar, no. Nosotros tenemos que ser bien críticos de las cosas malas que están pasando. Y en la actualidad, todo el mundo que apoye a Israel, que está en contra de Israel, todo el mundo puede coincidir que lo que está pasando en Palestina es un genocidio. Sabemos que los israelíes no lo aceptan así, pero es un genocidio. Y la comunidad judía lo vivió en su época. Y en su época, nosotros como seres humanos debemos estar siempre en contra de las guerras, de cualquier matanza, de cualquier genocidio. No nos tiene que importar el país de donde venga. Entonces nosotros, como padre, les he inculcado siempre a mis hijos. Si es que ustedes ven una injusticia en cualquier lado, tienen que hablar, no se pueden quedar callados. A mi niño les enseño, si es que tú ves a un niñito más grande que le está golpeando a un niño más, tú tienes que avisar, reportarlo a la directora, al director, para que hagan algo. Y si es que no se soluciona, se tiene que llegar a la siguiente instancia, que son los padres. Entonces, no nos podemos quedar callados ante cualquier injusticia. Y es lo que he inculcado a mis hijos, y para mí fue una sorpresa. Muy poco nos vemos con mi hija, porque ella está bien dedicada a la escuela. Y ahí coincidimos ese día. Se sabía que iba a haber, que estaba, yo siempre he sabido que ella estaba en contra del genocidio. Para mí, el ir allá a apoyar a los estudiantes, sabiendo que iba a haber una toma de la universidad, fue una gran alegría encontrarla a ella. Con su grupo de amigas y amigos, estaban ahí con sus gorros, con sus algunas pancartas, pidiendo el cese al fuego y todo eso. Como padre me sentí muy orgulloso, ya, y también de apoyar. Me sentía tan orgulloso de mí mismo porque pude inculcar valores humanos. Acá ya no se trata, como lo dije en algunas entrevistas, no se trata de que si es cuestión religiosa o política, no. Somos seres humanos, y como seres humanos debemos de cuidar la humanidad. Debemos de proteger a los pueblos de cualquier parte de la humanidad, especialmente a los pueblos más oprimidos, a los pueblos indígenas. Y en este caso, el pueblo indígena palestino está siendo erradicado. O sea, hay que ser honestos. Cuando uno ve las noticias en directo de lo que sucede allá, no hay manera, no hay excusa que sea válida para que yo no hable de Palestina, para que yo no esté apoyando la paz, para que yo no esté apoyando el cese al fuego. Tengo como ser humano, como padre, tengo que inculcarle eso a mis hijos, y ellos lo han percibido bien. Nunca ha sido una cuestión de obligarlos o tienen que pensar así, no. Yo creo que los padres debemos de actuar con hechos. O sea, las acciones valen más de 1,000 palabras. Podrá haber padres que incluso por miedo, por cualquier circunstancia, le quieran negar a sus hijos o les digan, no, no te metas en las protestas. Pero los hijos, sus hijos ven en otros padres, que en este caso como yo, que sí, se tiene que apoyar, podemos apoyar. Las acciones de muchas personas que están luchando nos enseñan a que nosotros debemos seguir ese camino. Y yo estoy aprendiendo muchísimo de los estudiantes. Estoy muy agradecido de vivir en esta época donde todos los jóvenes en todas las universidades tienen el poder de saber qué es correcto, qué es incorrecto, qué es verdad, qué es mentira. La prensa tradicional le puede meter una noticia mentirosa, que es falsa, pero ustedes tienen todo ese poder en las manos y saben manejar la tecnología a través de las redes sociales, de internet. Ustedes al segundo saben si es que eso es verdad o es mentira. Y ahora la mayoría de jóvenes está utilizando las redes sociales, los medios alternativos, para informarse de la verdad. Entonces, estamos en esa lucha y vamos a seguir ahí.
Why did you decide to go to campus in person to support your daughter and the protests? Was there a safety concern? Did your daughter invite you? Did you decide you wanted to be there yourself in person to participate? How did you come to the decision to show up?
Basically, everybody saw what happened on Columbus University. And I was so frustrated. In the United States and everywhere in the world, the university campus has to be free of policemen. No police, no military has business on the university campus. So when I saw that on Columbus University, I says, man, we're in the United States supposedly to be a freedom country where we have freedom of speech, everything, and they are calling the authorities of the university are calling the police to go inside and arrest the students that they are peacefully protesting, that was insane for me. I says, no, I got to do something. So I learned that most of universities were going to go into support of Palestine. I decided yes. And I had that responsibility because I know my daughter goes to USC. Then the first choice was go to USC. So that's the decision that I made, basically, thanks to the struggle, to the fight of the Columbus students, Columbus University. Thanks to them, I think thanks to them, to the decision that they made to stand up for Palestine, is that most of the universities today are raising the voice for Palestine.
Y cuando usted estuvo allí la semana pasada, el miércoles pasado, ¿vio a otros padres, otros familiares apoyando a los hijos? ¿O qué vio usted ese día?
Cuando fui, yo he ido muchas veces a la universidad de mi hija. Nos hemos quedado ahí sentados, incluso he llevado comida y nos hemos sentado con mi hija ahí en el parque a comer. Uno se puede, o sea, por la ley de California, cualquier persona puede ir a un campo universitario. Dentro de las horas que son desde que amanece hasta que oscurece, por seguridad de los estudiantes, pero es un campo libre de acceso para todos. Y con mucha más razón, si yo soy un padre de una estudiante universitaria, después de haber ido muchas veces a participar, a hacer un camping ahí, comer con mi hija, compartir, y nos quedamos con mis padres y toda la familia por estar alegres de que nuestra hija esté en la universidad, es lo que yo mismo vi ese día, el día miércoles de la semana pasada, que es lo que estaba pasando ahí. Los estudiantes estaban protestando pacíficamente con sus carteles, había grupos de estudiantes cantando, había incluso familias, personas. Yo también llevé mis niños menores. Entonces, muchos padres que llevaron a sus niños. O sea, era una fiesta, había jóvenes con tambores, cantando, dando vivas a Palestina, pidiendo el fin del genocidio, pidiendo el cese al fuego, cada quien a su manera, pero era una fiesta. No había ningún motivo, no había ningún peligro para que las autoridades universitarias hayan tomado la decisión de pedir el refuerzo y que la policía de Los Ángeles, LA Police Department, venga al campus a reprimir, no solamente a reprimir, a intimidar, a meter miedo a los estudiantes, sino también arrestarlos. O sea, fue una cosa para mí que yo no lo podía creer al ver cómo, a pesar de que la policía empezó a anunciar con sus megáfonos que iba a arrestar a las personas, a todos, si no dejaban el campus universitario, y nos daban 10 minutos. De ahí pasó el helicóptero, y también en altavoz anunciando, si no dejan el campus universitario, van a ser arrestados. Y hubo un buen grupo de personas que, se entiende, por las familias, yo decidí sacar a mis papás, que ya son de casi 90 años, por seguridad, le dije, vayan para afuera, cualquier cosa, yo voy a estar aquí. Los llevé afuera, todo, y un buen grupo decidieron seguir la manifestación en la calle. Si no me equivoco, en la calle Jefferson, siguieron la manifestación ahí, pero yo decidí quedarme ahí. Y también había muchos padres. El hecho de yo ver cómo la policía perseguía a los estudiantes y los estudiantes, para no ser agarrados, corrían de un lugar a otro, se separaban de la policía. Y después de ver un grupo de valientes jóvenes, para mí mis respetos, ellos son los que deberían de recibir todos los honores, porque tomaron la decisión de quedarse ahí, a pesar que la policía les decía, tienen que moverse, van a ser arrestados. No, ellos decidieron quedarse ahí en protesta, no solamente para defender su derecho a la libre expresión, sino para defender la inviolabilidad del campo universitario y también para defender la causa palestina. Y decidieron ser arrestados uno a uno defendiendo a Palestina. Yo al ver todo eso, o sea, yo me sentí totalmente conmovido. Dije, o sea, yo vengo a apoyarlos, pero ellos me están apoyando a liberarme cada día más. Y tengo la responsabilidad de seguir haciéndolo. Fue en ese momento que hubo algunos periodistas, algunos canales que me empezaron a entrevistar, me entrevistaron y las cosas ahí ya se vieron algunos videos que ni yo me lo esperaba. Yo ya después de dos días que fui a la universidad es donde me empezaron a decir, hey, te hemos visto en las noticias. Yo ni enterado, porque yo iba a lo mío. Yo iba a apoyar a Palestina, iba a apoyar a los estudiantes. Y bueno, resultó todo esto de ese día.
Did you, so at what point did you see campus police like intervening with the students, and how did it start? Because I think it, campus police came in and started to try and disrupt the protest first, and then the LAPD came in. And I'm very curious about what you saw and how it escalated.
Security of the campus, the university police, the private police, they were over there, and they were around us, around all the students, and they were trying to say something or to don't go to some place, but everything was okay. There was not too much, no repression. Mm-hmm. They were over there. So the parents that were there, the kids, the students, we were doing what we were supposed to do, protesting. Many people, many students, they were doing videos to share it, to show the rest of the people, the rest of the world, what we were doing over there. But there was no violence at that point. The problem started when there was a commander, a LAPD sergeant or something, that came and says, oh, no, you have to move up with a loud voice. And the student says, no, leave us alone. We are here protesting. This is our home. But somehow, I learned hours later that they received an order from, or the okay from the university directors, mm-hmm. that the police has to go inside. So they received the okay, the police can come because we want all these people out. And that's when the police start coming up. When the police start showing up, was really scary because they on their faces, this looks like they don't believe in anything. They were just pushing, and they have like some weapons, but I hope it's not lethal weapons, but they have some weapons. And when I saw coming many cars, many vans, says, okay, this is the moment that they are going to start arresting the people. When the chapter, the police helicopter start announcing, okay, we are gonna, if you don't leave in 10 minutes, we are gonna be arresting you, and everybody has to go get out from the campus. And that gave the students more energy to say, no, we are gonna stay here. This is our house, and we are gonna defend it. You were there and see the students that the police were going after them, and they say, no, we have a peaceful protesting. We are protesting peacefully. You have to get out, not us. Mm-hmm. But the police didn't care. They pushed all the students and start chasing the students. And it's something that you don't have to see in any country, and less in this country that they supposedly we are a freedom country.
And for context for our listeners, the LAPD was on campus and threatening arrest. It was really early. It was early in the day. I mean, I don't think that the USC protesters, they were not there for even like 8 hours before the police, the riot police were called. Which is really wild because at all these other universities, I think Vanderbilt, their encampment has been up for like 28 days or something. And at USC, it was like less than 10 hours before police were allowed on campus.
Everything was fast. But since I was there in the morning, I had a car with a Palestinian flag, and I was around the university. And all around the university, there were police cars. So it was surrounded by police, where there were many chapters and helicopters. And they were waiting just for the order of the
president.
The president of the university. Once they get it, they didn't wait nothing. Yeah. They just went and started doing their thing.
Yeah. By noon, the helicopters were up there. by 12 noon. And all this time, when all of this is happening, are you with your daughter? Are you together? Was your daughter separate from you? Tell us about how that worked. Like, did you have eyes on her? Did she get arrested?
On all these hours that I was there, because I was many hours, since the morning, I got a chance to see her two or three times, just for a few seconds. We say, "Oh, how are you? Oh, you were okay," because she was having finals. I even thought she was having finals, and she has to give some homework or something like that. And she was studying. And she told me, "I am studying, but I finish this and I go back to the protest." Mm-hmm. So she was with a computer, studying there in the park, everything, and on the protest too. And a lot of students, they were with a laptop, studying, doing their homework. And basically, on the moment of the arrest, we lost contact. And I start to try to call her, mm-hmm. and she didn't answer. She wasn't answering. And says, I saw her here. I look around, but I didn't see her. And the first thing that came to my mind was that she was going to arrest her, and I put on my mind, if she get arrested, man, I am going to go with her. I don't care. Because as a father, my daughter was teaching me a lot that day. You have to be brave, and you have to defend what you believe in. And I didn't go with intention that day to be arrested or anything like that. I just went to, because I've been going to other protests, marches like that, to support Palestine, to end the genocide. But just thinking that your daughter is doing that, and a ton of students doing that, defending what they believe, and they were willing to be arrested. Man, that gave me memories too when I was a student, and says, man, the struggle that we are going, that we had 40, 50 years ago, the new generation is doing the same thing. But I am sure this generation is gonna change the world, because this generation is more informed, is brave, is not doesn't get intimidated easily. Mm-hmm. See, it's like in one day from Columbus University to the rest of the country. And now there are other countries, universities are doing the same. From one university, it's going to everywhere. And to be honest with you, I am so proud of my daughter that she did that, their friends, that they were there. When they were arresting that day, all the students, I was filming everyone. I had a TikTok, and I was doing a live video showing all the students that they were arrested, and somehow the signal got cut off. And I thought I lost the signal. I tried to go inside again to TikTok to do another live video, and I received a message saying, "No, you are banned for and you cannot do live videos for until May."
Oh, wow.
So and a lot of students that were doing that, that happened to them too. So, and even though, so the videos that we see around is the videos that they were pre-recorded, not some of them, not live videos, but they were banning many, many accounts. When I saw many girls, like my girl, and I approached to them. My girl wasn't here. I said, maybe my girl is arrested. So I says, I have to stay here. I am not going to move from here. They have to arrest me, they are going to arrest me. And always as a father, you don't want nothing bad happen to your kids. It's an instinct that we have. And the kids, they don't want nothing to happen to their parents. But we are ready for them. When I talk to them, if something happened to me, you have to keep on going, keep on fighting. That's not the end. We have to keep on going. We'll be sad or we will cry for a moment, but we have to keep on going. Because whatever, everything that we are doing here on the States and everywhere is nothing comparing to the things that are happening in Palestine. Nothing. So any sacrifice that we can do it, and I make a call to all the listeners, that whatever you can do, If you compare for the things, for the suffering that they are going in Palestine, it's nothing. And we, the last thing we have to do is not to be afraid and speak up. And start speaking up more and more and start telling the people that doesn't know or that they are afraid that they can speak up too. They have to decide what's right or wrong. And we have to defend always humanity. That's the main point here.
Be right back.
Tengo diabetes.
Yo, asma.
Estamos en riesgo de contraer la neumonía neumocócica.
19 años o más con afecciones crónicas como asma, diabetes, EPOC o enfermedad cardíaca, o tienes 65 años o más, estás en mayor riesgo de contraer la neumonía neumocócica. Pregunta a tu médico o farmacéutico sobre Prevnar 20, una vacuna de Pfizer que puede ayudar a proteger contra la neumonía neumocócica con una sola dosis. Aunque te hayas vacunado previamente con otras vacunas contra la neumonía, Prevnar 20 puede ayudar a proveer protección adicional. Prevnar 20 está aprobada para adultos para ayudar a prevenir infecciones de 20 cepas de la bacteria que causa la neumonía neumocócica. La aprobación continua puede depender de un estudio de apoyo. No uses Prevnar 20 si has tenido una reacción alérgica grave a la vacuna o a sus componentes. Los adultos con sistemas inmunitarios debilitados pueden tener una respuesta reducida a la vacuna. Los efectos secundarios incluyen dolor e hinchazón en el área de la inyección, fatiga, dolor de cabeza, dolor muscular y en las coyunturas. Para obtener la información para la prescripción completa, llama al 1-855-213-2138 o visita Prevnar20enespañol.com.
This is it. We've got an Amex Platinum Pro on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't seen anyone relax like this before in the Centurion Lounge. Is he connecting to complimentary Wi-Fi? Oh, my. Look at that. He is. And you will not believe where he's going next. The Amex dedicated card member entrance for the win. Unbelievable.
When you get travel perks with Amex Platinum, you're part of the action. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
I love sharing positive tips with my listeners on everything from health challenges to relationship troubles. Because life happens, baby, but you got this. Hi there. I'm Honey German, and I know we can all use some positive energy these days. That's why I make sure to empower my community, because a bit of motivation and support can go a long way. And luckily, we have State Farm to support us. Like when you talk to a State Farm agent to choose the coverage you need, and they have the options to protect the things you value most. It's the perfect positive tip you need. State Farm is also a big supporter of the My Cultura podcast network, where we as podcast hosts get to share our experiences and stories. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Listen to new episodes of your favorite My Cultura shows wherever you listen to podcasts.
¿Y cómo fue que encontró a su hija ese día? ¿Fue arrestada o qué sucedió?
Esa noche no lo supe porque no contestaba mi teléfono. O sea, para mí, o sea, fue arrestada. Hasta las 11 de la noche, ya 11, 12 de la noche que llegué a casa, sí ha sido arrestada. Yo me quedé, o sea, preguntando a todos. No se sabía quiénes habían sido arrestados ahí. Realmente ya a las 11, 12 de la noche, había algunos estudiantes que habían ido todavía a las comisarías donde los llevaron a los estudiantes. Me dijeron, no ha sido arrestada. Pero ya me mandaron un mensaje, no, Camila está acá en el campus, está ahí, no, que no había sido arrestada. Entonces ya fue una tranquilidad. Para toda la familia fue, por un lado, orgullo como padre, ¿me entiendes? Sí, porque ya nosotros dijimos, si ha sido arrestada, pues, nos da pena, va a pasar, va a haber repercusiones, ya, pero, o sea, lo estamos haciendo por algo que es correcto. Y toda la familia sí estaba bien contenta en ese lado, pero también se notaba tristeza, todo eso. Pero entre todo eso, siempre nosotros nos motivamos y yo trato de enseñarle a mis hijos, a los más pequeños, también no es correcto lo que está pasando allá. Yo me los pongo en la figura y les he puesto ahí la figura a mis hijos como para enseñarles. Ustedes se imaginan que estemos en Palestina y que caiga una bomba y me mate a mí y ustedes se queden huérfanos. ¿Cómo se sentirían? O sea, tenemos que ser empáticos. Y los niños acá saben, no es que hay que ocultarles, no, porque acá viven tanta violencia, los policías, es el país que más, más personas asesina. Es el país donde hay más tiroteos en las escuelas. Los niños lo han vivido más que nosotros. Muchos de los niños han vivido tiroteos en sus escuelas, en otros lugares, o saben de todas esas cosas. Entonces, tratar de ocultarles esa realidad que está viviendo Palestina no es correcto. Ellos tienen que tomar conciencia desde muy niños. Claro que yo no les voy a enseñar cosas que las voy a traumar, porque si a mí mismo como padre, siendo ya una persona mayor, ver algunos videos de Palestina, de los cuerpos de los niños prácticamente triturados, un brazo por acá, la cabeza por otro lado, los padres enterrando partecitas del cuerpo de sus bebés, videos donde los bulldozers atropellan a madres gestantes, lo último que se vio que fue algo abominable, que encontraron a un montón de palestinos vendados los ojos y atados con las manos atrás, con esposas, y fueron acribillados con balas. O sea, ver todas esas cosas, ya no te puedes quedar callado. Y a mí como padre me afecta. Pero también de la misma manera que me afecta y me da impotencia muchas veces de no saber qué hacer, de poder ir a ayudar allá algo, por lo menos digo, ok, estoy acá, esta es mi trinchera, voy a apoyar desde acá. Voy a seguir enseñando, hablar con las personas que tenga que hablar. Entonces, esa es la fuerza que me da. Y de esa misma manera yo educo a mis hijos. Mi niña, la menor, ella ya no le tengo que decir cosas ya. Ya va con su gorra de Palestina, con su catifa, va a la escuela, ya y todo. O sea, ya habla de Palestina. Hay veces de siete añitos les piden que lleven su juguetito y que hablen de su juguete, su muñequito, que quieren. La mayoría de niños lleva su muñequito, su juguetito. Ella está agarrando y lleva su sandía que hemos hecho de Tecnopor, su watermelon lo lleva y les explica qué significa los colores, por qué se lleva la sandía. O sea, ya están un poco más instruidos. Y los amiguitos le empiezan a preguntar. Y yo todos los días voy a dejarla a mi hija a la escuela. Y voy con mi carro de Free Palestine, con su bandera, como debe ser. Pues es mi manera. Muchos me empiezan a preguntar, muchos ven, sacan fotos, me dan ánimo, me dan la señal de la paz y todas esas cosas. O sea, mostrar que estamos en todos lados con Palestina. O sea, hay mil maneras de mostrar nuestro apoyo a Palestina. Desde poner un sticker en el carro, llevar la catifa, hablar con nuestros familiares, hablar con nuestros compañeros, es manera de educar a la gente para que cada vez más, y somos cada día más, cada día que pasa somos más los que estamos a favor de Palestina, cada día somos más, incluso la comunidad judía, mucha comunidad judía está apoyando el fin del fuego.
With that context and everything you just described about the atrocities taking place in Palestine, what do you say to the people who criticize the student protesters? Oh, they spray painted on the Tommy Trojan statue, and oh, they were cursing at the police officers, or oh, they threw a water bottle, or they stuck their middle finger up. Because a lot of that type of criticism is going on out there. And I think also from the president of the university and the administration, interrupting the flow of campus activities. But in light of the atrocities you just described in Gaza, what do you say to those types of criticisms?
That's a joke. That's a joke for me. It's how you are going to compare. If those people that are criticizing what the students are doing, if they have a little humanity in their heart, they will be ashamed to do those accusations. Whatever the students do, anything, they can destroy whatever. That's nothing compared with what is happening right now in Palestine. It's nothing. They are complaining about a graffiti that they try to put it, or that some kids, they try to paint on the floor Free Palestine with some crayons and... that doesn't compare with what's happening over there. It's like I feel like insulted. Mm-hmm. Because they were supposed to be the first ones who speak up and teach the students to be against what's happening in Palestine. They are supposed to be the main speakers to get peace. Because if you, as the president of the university, you don't care about the freedom of thinking of the students, and if you don't care about peace, you are over there, yes, for your money, for your packet, or whatever reason, but not for the goodwill of the students. Because the students has to be free thinkers. They have to decide what to do in life. Nobody has to push them or dictate, oh, you have to think this way. If you want to get a good job, you have to think this way. No. Every single human being is unique, and we have to be free always to think. But they are not going to buy the conscience of the students. And right now they are trying to buy the conscience of the students by threatening the students, by telling them, hey, don't do this. Oh, it's okay to support Israel, but it's not okay to support Palestine. No, that's not right. So we have to be straight up to that. Never get intimidated. Never, don't look the little point over here when over there are rivers of blood. Over here, they trying to complain, oh, they threw a barrel on the head of somebody. So what?
Right.
Over there are thousands of kids that has been assassinated brutally. That's worse than I know what's a genocide, but when I see these videos, that's worse than a genocide. I don't want to live good on this country with my hands with blood, knowing that whatever we can have here, all the commodities that we can have here, is thanks to that the government is killing thousands of people abroad in other countries. Just a week. That happened in Palestine, that happened before in Iraq. So the list goes on and on. And for me, right now, the direct responsible of this genocide is the United States government, because they are sending millions and millions and millions of dollars to Israel. United States government is guilty too, because with our money. Mm-hmm. That's why the people is protesting. With our money, that money has to be used here in the States. Yeah. We have so much need over here that if we use a portion of that money, many problems will be solved on the States. Yeah.
And this was one of the demands of the student protesters, exactly, that USC divest. Divest from Israel and from the war machine and from the genocide machine. It's a huge issue that's been going on since before we were born. I think that's important to talk about as well. This is an ongoing conflict, genocide, and students have always protested and risen up and led the charge. And people have always criticized students at every turn and at every occasion. And I think that history is going to look back very kindly at the students. And there's going to be a lot of criticism towards the universities who participated in this repression. So, yeah, thank you so much for sharing your perspective and your reasons for being there and your insights with your daughter and everything that you saw on campus last week.
I really appreciate your invitation, and never give up. Never give up on this fight. The struggle is not just since October 7. No. This struggle is since I remember, since I was a kid. My father used to teach me about Palestine. So this is going on for generations, since the last century. So we have to keep on speaking up, never be silenced, don't be afraid, don't let nobody bite your conscience, do the right thing. Always do the right thing.
Bueno, muchas gracias.
Gracias a todos.
Un placer.
Locatora Radio is executive produced by Dios FM and Mala Munoz.
Creative direction by me, Mala.
Story editing by me, Diosa.
You can listen to Locatora Radio on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Locatora Radio is a part of iHeartRadio's My Cultura podcast network.
And thank you to our locamores, to our listeners, for tuning in each and every week.
Leave us a review and share with your prima or share with your homegirl.
Localandia.
Tengo diabetes.
Yo, asma.
Estamos en riesgo de contraer la neumonía neumocócica.
19 años o más con afecciones crónicas como asma, diabetes, EPOC o enfermedad cardíaca, o tienes 65 años o más, estás en mayor riesgo de contraer la neumonía neumocócica. Pregunta a tu médico o farmacéutico sobre Prevnar 20, una vacuna de Pfizer que puede ayudar a proteger contra la neumonía neumocócica con una sola dosis. Aunque te hayas vacunado previamente con otras vacunas contra la neumonía, Prevnar 20 puede ayudar a proveer protección adicional. Prevnar 20 está aprobada para adultos para ayudar a prevenir infecciones de 20 cepas de la bacteria que causa la neumonía neumocócica. La aprobación continua puede depender de un estudio de apoyo. No uses Prevnar 20 si has tenido una reacción alérgica grave a la vacuna o a sus componentes. Los adultos con sistemas inmunitarios debilitados pueden tener una respuesta reducida a la vacuna. Los efectos secundarios incluyen dolor e hinchazón en el área de la inyección, fatiga, dolor de cabeza, dolor muscular y en las coyunturas. Para obtener la información para la prescripción completa, llama al 1-855-213-2138 o visita Prevnar20enespañol.com.
Thank you for traveling with Amex Platinum. To your right, you'll see Oceanside Relaxation at a fine hotel and resort property. When booked through Amex Travel, you can enjoy complimentary breakfast for 2 and 4 p.m. late checkout. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
There are a lot of things that matter to me. Family, community, culture, and peace of mind. Hi, it's Wilmer Valderrama, and when balancing life, I have to say nothing brings more comfort than having support. And when it comes to ensuring those things that matter to you the most, State Farm offers the support with an agent available in person or on the phone to discuss your coverage options. Support when you need it, however you choose. That's State Farm's way. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.